You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Questions, queries, baffled, bamboozled, or just apathetic, Hungry for Democracy is here to fill your heart, your brain, and your funny bone right up to the brim with the joys of civic duty. Trust me, you'll love it. It's Hungry for Democracy.
Right, welcome to Hungry for Democracy. This week I'm talking to Pearl Little.
Thanks.
And we're talking Kate Shepherd.
Yes, we are.
Short for Katie?
I don't think Kate is short for Katie. I think Katie is another iteration of Kate.
Kate's tougher, anyway. And from what I can understand, this is quite a tough woman.
Yes. Yes, she is. Yes. So we're going to talk about Kate Shepherd and New Zealand suffrage in general. I want to start, though. So do you know what suffrage means, like, as a word?
I feel like it's taken from suffering.
The suffrage is basically the right to vote. That's what it means.
Really?
Suffrage.
Yeah, they made a word for that.
The right to vote.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. Okay.
Pretty much. So that's what we're talking about, the right to vote in New Zealand. So I'm going to talk to you a bit about early suffrage. So early suffrage came about with the New Zealand Constitution Act, which was in 1853. So this established, like, the first ever New Zealand Parliament.
Did we write, like, a constitution like America on a bit of paper in that?
Similar, yeah. Obviously on some paper because it was the 1800s, but
it was just
It's not necessarily a declaration of independence like they have in the States. Right. But what this did is that it made a parliament where legislators, so politicians, whatever, were divided into two separate assemblies. Basic, don't need to go into that much. But this gave British males over 21 the right to vote.
Wow, so, sounds diverse.
Yeah, so it gave British males, so Māori men were excluded because basically you had to be British as opposed to also, you know, either being Scottish or Irish. There were Scottish and
so
Irish.
So it wasn't about pledging allegiance to the crown, it was literally about where you're from.
Kind of, but I mean, I guess if it's British, it is about pledging allegiance to the crown because, you know, they were, so you couldn't be Scottish, you couldn't be Irish, and you couldn't be Chinese or Māori, which there were a considerable amount of at the time.
Yes.
You had to be over 21, as I said before. You also had to own property. So you couldn't vote if you didn't own property or land. And this was also, this comes into the thing with Māori getting able to get the vote because a lot of land was owned communally.
Yeah.
So that's sort of, you know, the early suffrage of New Zealand when we first had our first sort of government.
Nice.
So women's suffrage, though, which is the main thing we're talking about today.
Okay.
So Kate Shepherd.
$10 bill.
Who is on the $10 bill? Yes, she is, because she was New Zealand's leading suffrage campaigner for the Women's Christian Temperance Union, which I'm going to tell you a little bit about.
Christian?
Yes.
Damn history and the Christians.
So the movement in general was actually originally founded in Ohio in 1874. So
in America?
Yeah, and so this woman called Mary Clement Leavitt of the United States-based Temperance Union arrived in New Zealand, and her mission was obviously basically to set up a local equivalent. So, and I mean, New Zealand women were obviously enthusiastic at the prospect of their own organisation. And so, I mean, women Christian temperance unions were set up to lobby for things like alcohol prohibition, labour laws, prison reform, things like that.
All and to do with women, though.
Yeah, but also just like, you know, the well-being of society in general. And of course, one of their main things was suffrage, which sort of became, you know, their main central issue, especially...
Well, everything comes after that, doesn't it? If you can't vote, then you can't, you can't put the people that you want in to see that change that you want.
Definitely, exactly. So yeah, so the Women's Christian Temperance Union was the country's first ever national women's organisation. So broadly, the organisation is sort of influenced by some philosophers, such as early feminist philosophers Harriet Taylor Mill, and also I think her husband John Stuart Mill. So they sort of were the first people to be like, yo, woman got a vote too, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of the population.
Yes, it is. About half, right. Maybe even more. So going on to female suffrage, from 1887, there were numerous, so many attempts made to enable female suffrage. The first was authored by the 8th Premier. Wasn't called a Prime Minister, it was called a Premier, Julius Vogel.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do with the bread.
I was going to leave it alone.
Yeah, well, I was in my high school history class, that happened a lot. Everyone was like, the bread! And my teacher was like, shut up!
It's great with Marmite! Let's move on!
So yeah, and all the bills came really close to passing, basically. So there were several electoral bills that went up into Parliament and didn't get through. It's sort of like a lot of reasons, mainly because people didn't, I mean, you know, opponents of the women's suffrage really began to mobilise. They warned of any disturbance of the quote unquote natural gender roles of men and women. The liquor industry is also comes into this quite a bit because they were basically fearful because, you know, as I mentioned before, the Women's Christian Temperance Union were sort of for the prohibition of alcohol, right? So these anti-suffrage people were basically afraid that, you know, the liquor industry were fearful that they would be able to outlaw alcohol.
So
these liquor industry people lobbied sort of sympathetic members of parliament and organised all these counter petitions. So the Liberal government, right, they came into office in 1891. So we're getting close to 1893 when suffrage was achieved. We're 2 years away now.
Okay.
They were sort of divided over the issue within the party.
Because they wanted to stay red, but they also wanted control.
Well, yeah. I guess so, yeah. So the Premier John Balance, so the Prime Minister, not Prime Minister at the time, supported it in principle, but actually, privately, he was quite worried that women would come in and vote for his Conservative opponents.
Right.
Many of his colleagues as well, including Richard Seddon, who was a friend.
AKA Dick.
A friend of the liquor trade, like, basically strongly opposed it. So fast forward, House of Representatives passed electoral bills that would, you know, have enfranchised all adult women. So I mentioned before that our first sort of any form of government was divided in two houses. There was the lower house and the upper house, right?
Yes.
We had a sort of a bi-parliament. So the bill would, on a, you know, quite often get through the lower house, but then when it went into the upper house to be passed, it would get shot down.
Was that actually all in one house? Is there a chance
that
the upper house would be like, you hear what the lower house has been doing? Hopefully that doesn't get up to this floor.
I have no idea. Anyway, so yeah, the electoral bill passed in the lower house. There was debate, you know, there was a majority support for the enfranchised of women, including Māori and Pākehā women. So it was for both. Okay, then this happened, right? Balance, the guy I mentioned before, the Premier, John Balance, who was all for women's suffrage, dies. He's gone. He dies. He passes away.
He's like
away.
The man inside kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. So he was like, I'm for it. And then he dies. Shit. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So he was succeeded by Richard Seddon, who, as I said before,
AKA
friend of the liquor trade. Yeah, so again, all eyes were on the Legislative Council. Liquor interests petitioned all the council members to reject the bill. So suffragists, so Kate Shepherd and all her other women in the organisation responded with mass rallies. Mm. Sent telegrams to the members. Like imagine just like phone or text spamming someone with a telegram. And they also gave their supporters in Parliament white camellias to wear in their buttonholes to show support for suffrage. So, but, okay, old Seddon, who I mentioned before, backfired.
Old mate. We just call him old mate.
So he just tried to torpedo the bill by using all these sort of dodgy, underhanded political tactics.
Well, but classic politics, probably.
Do you know what happened?
Yeah.
This backfired.
Good.
Because two of his opponents, who originally actually didn't support the bill, changed their votes to embarrass Richard Seddon. And on the 8th of September, 1893, the bill was passed by 20 votes to 18.
So a lot of people thought Richard was a dick.
You could say that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. So, yeah, I mean, still, you know, anti-suffrage petitions were circulated, went on for a bit, but finally on the 19th of September, officially, Lord Glasgow signed the bill into law. And then we had the vote.
And now,
for women in...
And to remind us of that, Kate's on the
$10
bill.
She's on the $10 bill for all
her I've actually got
work.
A $10 bill up.
Yes.
I've got a little side problem with the $10 bill.
What?
For the listeners here, I've got a comparison of two $10 bills, the new and the old. Old $10 bill is an original picture of Kate Shepherd, it would appear, where her mouth is slanted just slightly down and her eyes are a little bit more closed. The new bill, they've cornered her mouth up a little
bit.
And they've opened her eyes up.
They have.
And I don't like this because obviously she was a badass woman. And they're kind of making her look like a little bit more approachable and
right.
playful. And that's my beef. So anybody out there in the government listening right now, I don't know what's going on with the $10 bill. And I have seen what you've done to Hillary's hair as well on the I haven't got enough money to get a $100 bill, but if you've mucked with Rutherford, we got.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.